Celebration Adventist Reflections.
Now, to discuss character building ideas, here is your host, Dr. Danzy.
Hi family, welcome back to the Adventist Reflections Podcast. Greetings to our listeners from the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia. I trust that these reflections have been as much a blessing for you to listen as it is for me to prepare them. Go ahead and share this episode with your friends, families, and even enemies. Today's music blessings come from a ministry that is not so anonymous anymore, a pianist that I respect a lot. I was blessed to produce this music with her, and I hope that you are blessed by it too. This is lesson 11 and is titled Families of Faith. As I think of this subject, I cannot avoid but thinking that having a family of faith is having a family who together ministers others, seeing what Christ sees in others, even if the family doesn't see it that way. I am not going to negate the fact that it is easier said than done, since after all, I have a family too, and I know that smooth sailing does not always take place in the Dr. Danzy's family, even when in ministry. Every Christian family has a struggle, a battle against fashions, against traditions, against cultures. Sometimes families can accommodate, sometimes families innocently compromise, and yet other times families go all the way out to the point of losing their faith that they once had. Changes take place, traumatic experiences come our way, social and cultural pressures at times place families on the edge of a cliff, so steep, so dangerous. I like this lesson's memory text in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, which encourages us to run this race with endurance, always looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, never forgetting the cross that he endured for us. So, how can we ensure that we maintain this race in the Christian faith? Today's reflections come in the shape of the acronym FAITH. That is F-A-I-T-H, faith. F stands for fixing our eyes upon whom we have faith. In this case, if you're a Christian, then your faith is in Christ. The logical conclusion is that you and every member of your family is to be encouraged to fix their eyes on Christ. I love that song saying to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We could easily make a conversion from the turning to the fixing as follow. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We have spoken about this aspect when we spoke in this series on episodes of marriage, parenting, and even sex. When you think about it, it all makes sense that in order for us to maintain the faith on something that we do not see, we must keep on dwelling on such beliefs. The more we fix our thought processes in line with what Christ has given us, the more we believe in it, and the easier it becomes to maintain our faith. In Psalm 16, verse 8, David says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So, I invite you to reflect. Are you fixed on Jesus today? That is, have you spent time with Christ today by reading what he left for you in the Bible? Did you spend a quiet time listening to his voice? Did you speak with him in prayer? Has Christ become your all in all? Do these questions also apply to every member in your family individually, as well as a unit? A stands for acting your faith. Yes, I know that some of you would feel very uncomfortable by this concept, but please hear me out. I am not encouraging you to be a fake Christian, but to take action on your faith. You see, faith is demonstrated in execution. The single verse I can think of speaking of the concept of righteousness by faith is found in Hebrews 11:7. It says that by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. So much to learn from this single verse alone about parenting, about family, and perhaps even a specific about fatherhood. But perhaps we could make a series on that. What do you reckon? So, for now, for you to have a family of faith, your family needs to act its part. It starts from the top, from the ones appointed by Christ to lead their families. And it must be followed by every member of the family. As parents, we are to encourage our children to have a personal relationship with Christ, where their faith is based on their own daily experience with Him. We can build a boat for them, but they have to enter into that boat. And after they leave the ark, our children must build boats of their own. Unfortunately, we have many cases where children have been led by force, but not by love and Christian disposition. Unfortunately, when no individual commitment is experienced in the family, even under the best of leaders, when the leader is gone, the follower's faith dies. That is what happened to the people of God when Joshua and the elders died. You see, Joshua and the elders had a personal experience with God based on personal encounters and exercises of faith, but the people lacked this experience. The people forgot what God had done, and they could not leave someone else's faith. They needed to have their own encounter with Christ. And this would unite their homes. This would unite their church experience. This would strengthen their faith. This follows the concept of fixing our eyes on Christ. The idea is simple. We must act on our belief in and for Christ, despite not seeing how this could be of benefit for you here and now. Families are to act in confidence that He which began a good work in your faith will complete it as you keep on acting your faith. Back in the early 70s, brain researcher Paul Paich did an incredible brain transplant between two different creatures. And in doing so, he kind of demonstrated that whatever our body does is directly controlled by our thought processes. That is, whatever you think and let yourself to think will be followed by the eager desire of your body. Here we must consider that the way we let culture and peer pressures influence our families can have a long-lasting and even intergenerational repercussions. Take for example Abraham, Jacob, and you know, we could talk about the whole family line who took heathen women as wives as they follow man-made traditions. Once embedded in the psyche, this can transfer to our children and their children to come. The interesting aspect here is that even those most embedded behaviors can be changed if we change our thought processings and core ideas. Psychologists have explored this idea of fixation and maintenance. In a specific, behavioral psychologists have methodically demonstrated that as we repeat an act, this act becomes more and more embedded in our minds. Interestingly, the opposite also applies. That is, the less you act your faith, the less you behave in accordance to your faith. The more the belief dissipates and gradually becomes an afterthought to the risk of extinction. Of course, these concepts are nothing new to Christ, who created both the brain and the chemicals flowing in it, which ultimately have an effect on our actions according to our choices. That is, God knew what he was talking about when he said, act your faith, execute it, live as you mean it. The old saying of fake it till you make it, as crude as it sounds, brings much truth with it. Because the reality is that the more you act on your faith, the more your family prays together, the more your family wrestles with Christ in crisis together, the more you serve together, share their faith together, the more it will be strengthened in their faith with Christ and for Christ. It should therefore be of no surprise that Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that by beholding we become changed, and that James 1:22 says that we must be doers of what God has shared with us to do. Interestingly enough, both of these texts are contextually linked to aspects of faith. And then we have letter I. I stands for involve your family in church activities. I have seen families who are very united in their own family extracurricular activities, but very distant from church. The reality is that if a family is not involved in the church family activities, they will eventually perish in their faith, because church forms a crucial aspect on our faith in daily living. Hebrews 10:23 says that we are to continue being involved in our community of faith. And throughout the history of the early Christian church, we have that all families gathered together in church fellowship with the purpose of encouraging each other and preaching the gospel. In doing so, their faith was strengthened. Think about it. It just makes sense. If we cultivate our family education based on our faith, on our involvement with like-minded people, we can harvest fruit even in the generations to come, as it was the case of Esther, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, as it was the case with Jesus Christ, who all were raised in communities that were messed up, yet their parents did not neglect their duty and their discipline in church participation. And in doing so, the parents saw, or will see in heaven, the fruits of their efforts. Be not mistaken. The adult choices that Esther made, the adult choices that Daniel made, even the choices that Jesus made as a human here on earth, were not the product of chance or random selection at the time when they served against pressures in their society. Their intentional actions were choices produced from the education received at home. The key logical sequence of events is simple. If you are not involved in church activities now, do not expect your family, including your children, to choose to be involved in church activities in the future. God will always do his part. What about yours? Now it is the time to reflect about our families. Are you and your family involved in church activity? Are you involved in organizing church activities? Are you participating of those church meetings, including that midweek prayer meeting? Think carefully. Are you involved in your community of faith? Not only when you lead, not only when it is convenient for you, but in all aspects that brings the family of all believers together. Are you prioritizing the community God has left for you to be a blessing and service to? Do you go to the football game? Do not miss a trivia night? Keep the state of origin or Super Bowl scores and attend your friends' parties, even help organizing some of these events, but cannot find the time for church activities? Do you justify your work-related tardiness so as to not attend your local church prayer meeting, but would attend another social event whenever that comes? Be not mistaken. Faith, before it comes out from your home to the world, it must start at home and transferred into the church, that is, your home church. It is here that we have the letter T. T stands for telling the world about your faith. You see, to have faith in the family, a faith that unites the family, we must glorify God. However, we cannot confine this love only to one or two. Our love for Christ must be shared to others. When you believe something, when you stand for something, you share it. In the words of Christ found in Matthew chapter 5, we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. The light of your faith cannot be hidden under a bushel. I would like to propose that a family that ministers together will remain in ministry together for as long as they minister, having Christ in their lives. Author of the book, The Faith I Live By, Ellen G. White, shares the idea that from every Christian home, a holy light should shine forth. Love should be revealed in action. Lastly, we have letter H. H stands for holding tightly together. My Adventist Reflections family, to have a family of faith, it must be clear that our faith members are not our enemies, but our allies. Love in action is realizing that we are in the same boat where Christ is our captain. Love in action must flow in all our home interactions. Love in action is showing thoughtful kindness in a gentle, unselfish, and courteous manner. You see, persecutions will come. Criticisms will be evident. All manners of challenges will seek to destroy your faith as an individual, as well as seek to destroy the faith that you have as a family and destroy your family overall. The devil knows that your family, united in the faith of Christ, following this cycle of faith, is a force to reckon against. He does not want you to succeed. He wants your family to fail. He does not want your family to worship together, to serve the church together, to serve the community together. But my friends, God is mightier, more powerful, and His desires are based on your salvation, on your fulfillment. God invented the family unit, and He desires more than anything and anybody else for you to be a faithful family holding tightly together in the name of Jesus Christ. Today, I encourage you to hold your family faith tightly and do not let it go. Why don't you start today by embracing every member of your family, caring for them physically and spiritually, mindfully in action? Have you ever thought of having an intentional habit to pray for your family, for their faith, indeed for their salvation? How about you? As a family member, where do you stand? Whether you're a father or a mother, or the caregiver of your family, you too are the child of God, a partaker of His nature if you decide to choose Him, and are to be like Him. As a child of God, you are part of His family. If you are God's child, begotten by His Spirit, you then live by the life of God, for if you have accepted Christ, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ longs to extend His sway over every human mind. Today I choose to let Him to do His work in me. Today I choose to love God. How about you? This is Dr. Dancy, and you listened to the Adventist Reflections Podcast, your podcast. Remember to subscribe to this podcast. Like it, share it, hashtag it, comment, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adventist Reflections. God bless you.